I'm sure you will agree that there is someone else who ought to be thanked here this evening. And that's the brother who's been doing all the thanking, Mr. Willie.
Amen.
We've been living with him the past week or so, and I can tell you that a lot goes on behind the scenes that you never see. He's very, very busy and enjoying serving you, and in so doing, serving the Lord. I'm sure that we all are very grateful for what he does here. May I say, since I shan't have the privilege of talking to you all again, how lovely it has been to be here with you. And we praise God for the fellowship that we have found and the friendship among you, and so many of you we seem to know pretty well. We not only know about you, but we know about your families and your associations and other things of interest, and we feel an affinity with you. We've been so glad to be not just ministering God's word to you, but to be able to share with you in your personal lives, and so rejoice together in the things of God. I do thank God for the privilege which has been mine during this week of sharing with you the things that I've been enjoying myself in Jesus Christ, and facing up myself to some of the challenges which I have presented to you. Now this evening we're going to gather the threads together of the themes which have been occupying our minds during the week, and weave them together into a message which will be based upon 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I read this chapter to you. Paul says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was to be abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now I'm going to take the liberty of reading to you verse 3 in the Revised Standard Version. "And you show that you are a letter from Christ, delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You are a letter from Christ. That's what Paul says here. You are a letter from Christ, and Paul is writing to the Corinthian Christians. He could just as well write to us. But he said, we delivered you in various places. We preached the gospel to you, you responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you became a letter, a message from Christ to other people. That letter was written by the Holy Spirit. We were the postman, we delivered the letter. And that letter was written by the Holy Spirit on your heart. Now this is our theme for this evening. You are a letter from Christ. We think first of all of the purpose of the letter. A letter is to convey a message. And we are to convey a message for Jesus Christ. Go ye into all the world, said he, and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and make disciples of all nations. And this calls to mind our message last Sunday morning about being fishers of men. And the Lord intends that through us a message shall get through to the people of the world. So as we come to our last conference meeting, we're just reminding ourselves that the effects of the conference must be just beginning. Because the effectiveness and the value of the conference will be seen not merely in the enjoyment which we have had of hearing the Word of God expounded, but the way in which this relates to us in everyday life and the way in which we respond practically to the messages to which we have listened. The Savior said, go and preach. But the message is conveyed not merely by the preaching. Paul says, you are a letter from Christ. And the message comes through in human life and in Christian living. You are a message. It is when we see Christianity really lived out in a life with radiance and with joy and with consideration and with love, it is then that we see what the message is all about. And it is this that the world is looking for. The world won't listen to our words unless they see Jesus Christ in our lives. And the greatest attraction to him will not be the words that we speak, but it will be the lives that we live. When Saul of Tarsus was converted, the Lord said to him, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. God had been speaking to him. He had been probing his conscience. He had seen how the Christians reacted under pressure. He had seen their response when they had been impressed with the fact that Paul was seeking to make them blaspheme that holy name by which they were called. He had seen Stephen, his face as the face of an angel, as he faced his judges. He had seen him kneel down and pray as his master prayed for forgiveness for those who were murdering him. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he was truly affected by those things. But we need not go back into the dim past. It's around us on every hand. And story after story I could tell you of people who have been won for Jesus Christ as they observe the lives of other people. One young man in England wanted to come across to this country and study at Bible College, and he needed some money to do that. He went to work at a chocolate firm, and he worked nights because he earned more money working nights. And they gave him a miserable job to do, cleaning out the chocolate machine. And you can understand what a mess that was. But he did it cheerfully after the Lord and not to men, and he did it with a song. One fellow came up to him one day and said, look here, nobody likes doing this job, but you're doing it so cheerfully. What's the reason? And he said, you come back home with me one day and I'll tell you what the reason is and explain it to you. Now, a fellow came back home with him one day and told him that it was because he loved Jesus Christ. And he led that fellow to the Savior. A man got in touch with me one day who was working at the aeroplane company in Bristol, England. And he said that he had been very impressed as he had watched the life of a young lady who had left our country and gone to live in Canada. And he'd written to her as to the secret of her living. And she said, you get in touch with Mr. Pavey and I expect he can tell you. So on the basis of this person's life, he came to me. And I was able to explain to him the Christian life. Again and again this happened. In our own assembly, we have a nurse. And working in a certain hospital, a man observed her and became interested in Christian things. She got him a Bible. He asked her all sorts of questions. And eventually that man came to know Jesus Christ as his own Savior. And he's one of our valued deacons. And he married the girl who first had affected him for Jesus Christ. You see, it's what people see in our lives that matters. And this is the way we break through to them. We are the only Bible this careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message written in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred? May not our lives be crooked? May not the message be blurred by that which is not Christian in our lives, which gives a wrong impression as to what true Christianity is. Let your light so shine before men that they may hear your good words and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not right, is it? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Paul says, your letters that we have delivered at Corinth, written by the Spirit, a message from Christ, and you're to be letters known and read of all men. Now letters not only convey a message, but often they portray the character of the person who writes the letter. You read a letter and you see certain phrases and way things are put and you say, well, I can hear that person saying those very things. And often when biographies are written of various people, there is included in the biography letters which these people have written, because the letters so vividly convey the outlook and the character of the person who is writing. During the week we have been studying, to some extent, the Epistle to the Philippians. And what a wonderful revelation that letter is of the spirit of the Apostle Paul. Now these letters portray the writer. And the writer is Jesus Christ. The message which is being written, the impression conveyed to people's minds, it's the good news of the glory of Jesus Christ, as we have it in the next chapter. Who he is, what he has done, what he is like, what he can do, and it all starts as seen in us. And people see the relevance of Jesus Christ as they look at our lives. Has anybody ever said to you, I can read you like a book? Now, they ought to read us like a book. You know, when people hear certain things, and if you really know the people, you know by a twinkle of the eye or the pressing of a lip just exactly what they're thinking. Whether the message is, or what is being said, is something which is acceptable to them or otherwise. They should read us like a book. And what they should read is Jesus Christ. People observe us, and they're all too ready to say, is that your Christianity? They read us as various things happen to us. They read our reaction to the things which happen to us in life. Our reaction to people and our reaction to circumstances. In our country in these days, there are many who are facing redundancy. I've been through that experience myself, and I know what it's like. But then you'll get a lot of men facing redundancy. And here is a man who is a Christian. And suddenly he loses his job. Does he go under? Is that faith that he talks about real? Does it show when that hits him? Sometimes tragedy comes into a person's life, and it comes suddenly, or else it is something which gathers and grows on them. The reaction to tragedy in life for the Christian is the thing which people are watching for. I told you earlier in the week about a nephew of ours who has a spina bifida baby. Well, a baby, a boy, is 6 years old now. And you know, this man had a superior of his in business come to visit him one day. He had been talking to him about Christian things, but he entertained him in the home. When he reached his own home after visiting this nephew of ours, he rang him up and he said, Lyle, he said, I was so impressed by your reaction to the tragedy in your life that I had to draw into a lay-by on the way home and receive Jesus Christ into my life. He is a wonderful testimony, and his wife also since then has come to know Jesus Christ. A Christian reaction to a tragedy in life. The Christian's reaction to temptation. Is he drawn away by it? The lure of money and material things, the temptation to do things which are not quite right in order to get advantage over others. The Christian's reaction to unkindness. A word spoken, perhaps even misunderstood, which is taken the wrong way. And the Christian gets the huff, or does he? Can he receive it with the Christian grace that he should? So that in all these ways we are being watched. And the important thing for us is to see grace from the Lord to be true representatives of Jesus Christ. To give a true message, to present to people Jesus Christ our Lord, in the shape of practical Christianity. We're love letters from Jesus Christ to the people who are round about us. And it ought to be very apparent that it is so. The purpose of the letter, to convey a message and to portray Christ. You are a letter from Christ. Now think, secondly, the process used in their production. Now here I have to be a little bit technical, because when you want to reproduce certain things in order to make the plate, in order that the paper or the letter may be reproduced, it has first of all to be exposed and then it has to be developed. And this is something which has to happen in our Christian lives. It's something which happens in photography. You expose the sensitized plate or film to the object before it, and then it has to be developed. And in the developing, the image is seen. Now let us look at that in a spiritual sense. If we're going to be really effective as letters of Jesus Christ, in the first place there is exposure to Jesus Christ. Exposure to the Lord. We have to behold him. And I believe that you have been doing this through this conference time. And this is a necessary preparation in the production of our lives as letters of Jesus Christ. For from the very first you have been saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And as we have proceeded through this week, it has been my purpose that you shall see your Lord. And as we see him, so we become like him. We have to gaze on him. We have to think about him. We have to spread our lives open before him. And this takes time. And you are giving time tonight for an exposure to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. It means worship. Because there's not just the exposure to an object before us, but there is a response in sensitized hearts. And we shall not be true messengers of Jesus Christ without we have that response. Too often we divorce worship from service. But service which is not worshipful is worth nothing. It grows out of our love for Jesus Christ. It means that we have to give time to the Bible and time to seasons of devotion. It means also that we shall possibly read Christian biography, where we see Jesus Christ presented to us in the lives of great Christians. And it means also something else of which you have an abundance here, Christian fellowship, and seeing Christ in other Christians. So as we're exposed to the life of Jesus Christ, we become the letters that he wants us to be. Now in this passage which we read together, we read about Moses, and he was exposed to the light of God on Mount Sinai. He was on that mountain 40 days and 40 nights, and when he came down, his face shone. God's reflected glory was seen in his face. The people couldn't look upon it, but that glory was a fading glory. And in order that the people might not see the glory fade away, a veil was put upon his face. And Paul makes a contrast here. He says Moses was one man. Now we all, with open face, behold the glory of the Lord. Moses was subject to an exposure from without. And the glory on his face was a surface glory. And therefore it was a fading glory. But the glory which is ours is a glory which is within. For God has shown us his glory in the face of Jesus Christ, and we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's not merely an external Christ that we're looking at, but a living Christ within, by whom we can live the Christian life. So that he looks through my eyes. He works with my hands. He goes with my feet. He feels in my heart. And the living Christ is within. You know, there are some clocks which have luminous numbers. You hold them to the light, and then when all the lights go out, you can see those numbers, and you can tell what the time is. So we're exposed to the light of our Lord, and in the dark world around us, we shine for him. There's lights which are used in various ways, and we have to be like lighthouse lights, not like an illuminated building, or a nicely, beautifully illuminated palm tree. That light shines upon the object so that the object becomes the main thing and all the details of that object stand out. And the focus is upon the building or upon the tree. It's not doing a job. It's just giving something which is pleasant and entertaining to you. But the light of the lighthouse, when that is doing business, is seen, but the lighthouse is not seen. And that is a picture that we must have of this light which we are thinking about, the radiance of Jesus Christ shining from our lives. The light must be seen, but we must not be seen. Said John, we beheld his glory. They beheld the Son of God when he was here. His love, his sympathy, his kindness, his forgiveness, his joy, his peace, his purity, all these things meant so much to them, and they have recorded them for us in Holy Scripture, that we also might behold his glory. Knowing him as our Savior and having him within us by the power of his Spirit, we can live the kind of life that he lives. So shall we become a message of Christ. But not only exposure, there is also development. When you have a film in the dish of developer, it will look nothing to start with, and then there will come a faint image. And then it will become clearer and clearer and clearer until it's pinpoint sharp. There's nothing instant about this. It's going to be instant when we see our Lord. When we see him, we shall be like him. But he wants us to grow more and more and more like him now. And so, as we behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. And ours is a shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. So there must be exposure to Jesus Christ in our lives. And there must be the development of this as we gaze on him, as we love him, as we appreciate him, as we see the graces of his character and live with him day by day. Now think with me of the person who produces these letters. You are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human heart. So the message is Christ. The letters are to portray Christ. But the writer in our lives is the Holy Spirit. Not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. The Lord, the Spirit. For he must have the lordship of our lives if he's going to write effectively in our lives. And this Christ-likeness that we are endeavoring for, this Christ-likeness which we must present to the world, is not produced by self-effort. I cannot grit my teeth and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to imitate Jesus Christ. You can't imitate him. But he can live his life through you, and this by his Holy Spirit. So that it is in this that we must concentrate our thinking. He works from within in the writing of these letters. Said the apostle in writing to the Philippian Christians, I'm quite sure that he who has begun the good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He who has begun the good work in you. So we have to let him have his way. Be Lord of our lives, and write the message of Christ in our lives. So again he says in that same letter, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, or with awe and reverence, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He'll make you want to do what he wants you to do, and he'll give you the strength to do it. Isn't that great? Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Said Christ, he will glorify me, that is the Holy Spirit, for he will take of mine and he will show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and he it is who opens our eyes so that we may understand the scriptures and open our eyes so that we may see Jesus Christ. And he it is who makes us appreciate him and makes his love and his person so real and so precious to us. This isn't wrought by self-effort. This is the work of the Holy Spirit within. I once had a biro pen which I dispensed with, because if there was the slightest bit of grease on the paper that I was writing, those letters were missing. Now the pen which is being used to write Christ into our lives is a person, the Holy Spirit. And there's nothing defective with him. But there can be things defective in our lives upon which he is writing. And there can be resistance to the Holy Spirit and the things that he wants to do in our lives. It is possible to quench the Spirit. It is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. Let us be open to him, so that he may do all that he wants to do with us. And he will write Christ large in our lives. So he is the writer. Where does he write? You are a letter from Christ delivered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. That's where he writes. He's not writing in our heads. It isn't attaining a lot of information. Knowledge puffs up, puffs up. But he's writing in our hearts. You know, we have been stressing this so much this week. The necessity of having a heart relationship with Jesus Christ. Says this very chapter, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We need the letter of Holy Scripture, but we need the Spirit too. And it is this that gives response, and it is this that gives joy, and it is this that gives power in Christian living. The Holy Spirit writing in our hearts. John the Baptist was a burning and a shining light. Oh, I love that. There's fire in it, there's warmth in it. Says the apostle, be aglow with the Spirit. I love that too. It has the same sort of feeling with it. The Holy Spirit pours Christ's love into our hearts. This is his work, to make Christ's love so real and wonderful to us, so that we respond in praise to the Lord. Says the apostle, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with all your heart to the Lord. Well, you have some good singing here. But I wonder whether you only sing when you come together, or whether your heart is so full of joy in the Lord that you sing as you do your work, you sing as you go along the road. I don't mean to call attention to yourself, but sometimes, is it not, your heart is just overflowing in some of these things that so thrill you as you sing together. When you sing them to the Lord and you're not singing them to one another, there's a great deal of difference, you know, between singing hymns and singing with all our heart to the Lord. When we sing hymns, we enjoy them. But when we sing with all our heart to the Lord, we're worshipping him. And that gives a real lift in the Spirit. So, says the apostle, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, it's okay to speak to yourselves. Why do you do this sort of thing? Speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with all your heart to the Lord. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Submitting yourselves to one another. Husbands to wives. Wife-husband relationship. Children-parents relationship. Parents-children relationship. Servants-masters relationship. Masters-servants relationship. So you see how all this is channeled into daily living and into our natural relationship. It doesn't stay like something airy-fairy out there somewhere. It comes right into the nitty-gritty of everyday life. And if we're filled with the Spirit, it's going to affect us in all these relationships. And Christ is going to be seen. And the Holy Spirit will write into our lives lovely things. I tell you what he will write. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Meekness. Faith. Self-control. That's a picture of Christ. He perfectly exemplified all those things, and this is what the Holy Spirit will write into our lives. When Moses came down from the mount and his face shone, he didn't know it shone. It was all unconscious to him, but the light was shining, and Moses didn't know it till the people told him. So with us, we will not call attention to ourselves. We will be unconscious of the fact that we are anything special. But if this is being wrought in our lives, then people are going to see and know. Not merely by the words you say, not only by your deeds confessed, but in the most unconscious way, as Christ expressed. To me it was not the words you spoke, to you so clear, to me so dim. But when you came, you brought a sense of him. And from your eyes he beckons me. From your heart his love is shed. Till I lose sight of you and see the Christ instead. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All his wondrous compassion and purity. All thou Spirit divine, all my living refined. Till the beauty of Jesus is seen in me. You are a letter from Christ. This is a sorting office here. From this conference we're going to very many different places in this country and in other countries. From this sorting office you are being sent out a letter from Christ. May it be that the message will come through clearly. The people will get the message that is written in our lives, and come to understand that this is for them too, to the glory of God. God bless you all. It's been wonderful to be with you. And I do trust that the ministry of God's word in you will forget so much of what I've said throughout this week. But I do trust an impression has been made upon our lives for the glory of God, which will be effective to this end for years to come. In his wonderful name, amen. Now I have a hymn here that I want us to sing. Hymn number 425.
Satisfied with thee, Lord Jesus.
Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make us perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.